There we go. Great. Okay, so you'll actually see me as Carolyn down at the bottom of the screen there. If you have just tuned in, I assure you it is me, but we do share a lot of similarities, I guess. So welcome, everybody, once again to the conference call. So this is the first call for RS-102, Get to Know Your Community. And just before we start, I'd like to do just a quick land acknowledgement to let you know that I am calling from Sambaque on Chief Dry Geese territory in Treaty 8. And this is the traditional home of the Yellowknives Dene, the North Slave Métis, and it's also sometimes known as Yellowknife in the Northwest Territories. So RS-102, for the folks who are just joining in maybe for the first time, this learning event is designed to help us to identify different ways to get to know a community, to describe some of the characteristics that are usually considered in community recreation, and to discuss strategies that respond to local characteristics and contribute to inclusive and accessible, meaningful recreation. So for today, our agenda is going to look similar to like all of the other conference calls that we have done. I'm going to ask you to follow along with the slideshow. We'll do some introductions, and we'll sort of take our lead from the prompts on slide 14, but we'll follow through the slides as we go along. So let's start off with a round of introductions if we can. I think there are some new folks joining us perhaps, so if we could just go through, if you could say your name, let everyone know who you are, sort of what you do in your home and what your home community is. If you prefer to do this in the chat, then that's great. Go ahead and I will read it out for you. Today, we're going to start with, we're going to go by alphabetical order by your community, but we're going to start in the middle. So I've already sorted this out for you. So we're going to start off, let's see, we've got Robin, who's in Marsh Lake. Robin, I'll put you on the spot. You're going to start it off today. And then we'll go to Catan and Igor and Salita. And then we'll go to Gian and Whitehorse. So Robin, I'm going to get you up first. I'll put the names into the chat here.
Hi, I'm Robin Gillespie. I'm the Recreation Director for the Marsh Lake Community Center. I also run the Quest for the Crown program for Yukon Sourdough Rendezvous, and I do a few other jobs.
Right on. Thanks, Robin. Catan, you're up next. And you can put, oh, there you go. From Catan writes that she's from Mendenhall, a small community between Whitehorse and Haines Junction. She's the official, non-official rec coordinator for their growing population there. Thanks, Catan. Igor, can you jump in for us?
Thanks, Tim. My name is Igor, and I live in Chulita, North River, and director of relations here. And this, short and sweet.
Thanks, Igor. You cut out there just for a second. But I know who you are, and I hope everybody else caught that. Gian in Whitehorse, and then we're going over to Jasmine.
Hey, everyone. My name is Gian. I'm a squash coach in Whitehorse. My community is the Whitehorse. Yeah. Thank you.
Go squash Whitehorse. Right on. I'm a big fan. Thanks, Gian. And next we've got Jasmine.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jasmine, and I'm the rec coordinator in Cambridge Bay, Nunavut. Yeah, I'm fairly new with the job. I only started in October, so I'm still getting the hang of things. And yeah.
Right on. Welcome, Jasmine. I've got Breton next, I think, from the Talent. Breton.
Hello everyone. So yeah, my name is Breton and I am the recreation manager here in Ottawa.
Right on. Welcome. And somebody just joined the call. I've got a couple of folks who just joined the call. So who just called in from 819-598?
Hi, this is Misha Benafiel from Cambridge Bay.
Sorry, who is it?
It's Juliana Fial from Cambridge Bay.
Oh, Juliana, great. Okay, right on, Juliana. Nice to meet you on the phone. I'm glad you've joined us. Juliana, we're just doing introductions, so I'm going to pop you in here next. So if you wouldn't mind just telling us who you are, where you're from, and what you do, and then we'll go to Myla and we'll move on.
Yeah, so my name is Juliana. I work for the Municipality of Cambridge Bay, Nunavut. I'm the manager of coalitions, and I support the recreation department for the design of programs, grant proposal, sometimes delivery of the programs as well.
Right on. Thanks, Juliana. Myla, can you let us know who you are and where you're from?
Hi, my name is Myla, and I am from CarMax, and I work recreation and EMS.
Right on. Looking after us all. Thanks very much. Thanks, everyone. I appreciate your introductions. And just so we haven't really met yet, I'm Tim Van Dam, and I've been a part of Recreation North for quite a long time in different roles. Some of you, I don't know if we've met before, some of us have. Maybe not in Recreation North capacity, but I've instructed a few courses, and I'm really pleased to be part of the one with you for the next couple of weeks. And you'll probably see me again over the course of the rest of this learning cycle. So let's get back to it. I was wondering if we could take just a few minutes to review this week's content, beginning with slide 6. So if you are on the slideshow or on the slides, if you could jump up to slide 6. And that's the slide that starts with recreation that makes a difference is. In order for recreation to make a difference in all of our communities, it really needs to be inclusive and welcoming. It needs to be barrier-free. It needs to be accessible. And that can mean lots of things. And it needs to be meaningful and it needs to be relevant. We're all involved in community recreation because we believe the power of recreation to support physical and mental health as well as social and community well-being is really important. If you don't know the heart and soul of your community, though, it can be tough to make a difference. And RS102 is about getting to know what drives your community so that you can be more intentional in your recreation programs and services. If you move on to the next slide, slide 7, it shows how the three different recreation services how the three different RS learning events fit together. So RS102, your community, RS101, and RS103, which is coming up, they all fit together. Recreation leaders who connect what you know about the system covered in RS101 to your knowledge of your community, what we're covering in this learning event, are better able to support recreation that's both relevant to northern, small, and rural and remote communities, while also being inclusive of all community members. Getting to know a community better involves figuring out what you want or what you need to know and how to get and present that information and why that's important. If you jump up to slide nine, there are different facts and stats that help us to understand a community. But in recreation, we also want to go deeper and get a good sense of core community values and traditions and relationships, etc. So this week, you are asked to take a look at slides 9 through 12 and browse through activity 1. If you take a look at slide 10, it introduces demographics, different kinds of facts and stats that we know or that we might know about our communities. And slide 11 and 12 introduce physical characteristics, things like the built environment and infrastructure, and the natural and surrounding environments in our communities. Community profile can showcase some of the facts and stats about your communities. Of course, You shape the profile to influence how people see your community, and a combination of certain facts can paint a positive picture, while a combination of other facts might paint a negative picture. So I'd like to just pause here for a moment, and let's discuss something about community profiles. So I'm going to pose a question. I'll put this here in the chat, and we'll go around in the same order that we did. So Robin, I'm going to put you on the spot first. And if you don't feel comfortable, anybody for that matter, doesn't feel comfortable answering the question out loud, you, absolutely please feel free to post your answer into the chat and I'll read that. Or you can just simply say that you want to take a pass on this one. The question I posed here is, and it's in the chat, and if you're unfamiliar with where the chat is, just go down to the bottom of your screen and there's a little, two little speech bubbles, and you click that and that will take you into the chat area. So when might recreation leaders prepare or use a community profile? And have you prepared a community profile for the place where you work? So again, we're going to start off at Marsh Lake. Robin, you're in the middle today. Lucky you get to go first if you're willing to.
Yeah, that's fine. I think community profiles are really helpful when you're applying for funding to have a really clear picture of what sort of funding pots you might be able to use and to be able to justify your request in those applications. It's also really important to prepare to actually know the needs of your community. I know especially with recreation, there's such a high staff turnover, so everybody sort of comes in with their own ideas and their own background, but that might not necessarily align with what the community wants, which has a bit of a slower evolution.
Yeah, that's great. I appreciate that. Some really great points there. Thanks, Robin. We'll go to Catan next. Catan, if you want to jump something in, she writes, just saw stats for the first time this week, was surprised that the bulk of our population is older. It can be surprising when you start to take a deep dive into what your population looks like. You're absolutely right, Catan. We'll go to Igor and Salita next, and then Gan.
Can you hear me now, Tim?
Go ahead. I can, Igor. Thank you.
Okay, so my internet is not good today, so let me know if you cannot hear me. I will say, same like Robin, it's very important during funding and also more important when we write those reports after our event regarding the numbers and how many participants and what was the demographics of all participants, and that's it.
Right on. Thank you, Igor. I appreciate that. We're going to go to Gian next.
Hi, everyone. So profiling, we need profiling at the start of the season. We say early tiny programming, right? It can be you're trying to apply for the business or fund, right? It's better to know as soon as you can about what is your demographic looks like, what are the needs of the society looks like, who are the participants and all, right? And how much budget we are having, and what are the programs, like the future program we can include into. So knowing at the start of the season will be the best idea to have the profile of the community. Thank you.
Thanks, Gian. Yeah, no, I appreciate that. As you say, a sort of broad overview really helps us to think about planning in general for what our communities need. And I see that April has just joined us. So welcome, April. I'm glad you're able to make the call. April, I'm going to put you at the... Yeah, it's nice to hear your voice. And nice to meet you on the phone. I'm going to get you to jump in after... who's our... second last person. I think Myla is going to be our second last person. And so you'll follow Myla. That was Gan. Thank you very much. Juliana, you are in Cambridge as well, so I'm going to put you in next. And then Jasmine and Breton.
We do have a community comprehensive plan that I inherited, and I'm going to work on to get on a final version that is usually a good source of information for us when we are planning for events. We keep doing, for sure, we collect information from surveys, and we keep an open communication channel with the community, where when we start some new project where we have ideas for funding, we try to communicate with the community to update the profile, let's say, to have it all updated. We have lots of students that they come citizenly through the college, or new workers or people that move to the community, so it's always good to get that to update the profile.
Yeah, thanks, Julian. I really appreciate that. Interesting that, great that Cambridge Bay has a community profile, but I really like the idea that it is being updated as people come and go in the community. That's really valuable. Thanks very much for that. Let's go to Jasmine, Breton, Myla, and then April, please. Jasmine, I think you might still be on mute.
Hi, sorry. Yes, I was going to add something to the chat, but like I said, I'm just starting. I'm very new in this position, so I'll just go with what Juliana said, and I don't have much to add to that. Thanks.
That's okay. Yeah, no, that's all right. It's good to learn from experience, too. I appreciate that. Thanks, Jasmine. Breton, over to you, and then Myla and April.
Hello. I think not too much new to add to that. I think basically with what like Robin and Igor were saying, based off funding opportunities to see the needs and the interests of your community, maybe see where things are going to be relevant and what, maybe events or programs that you want to offer, and just kind of see what your community is going to be interested in, especially for funding opportunities as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Breton. Let's go over to Myla and then April.
So this is the first time, I believe, that I've heard about a community profile, but I appreciate what everybody said, and I look forward to looking more into that.
Yeah, great. That's what this is all about, learning new things. That's just great. That's just fine, Myla. Thank you very much for commenting on it. April, would you like to jump in?
What was the question?
Yeah, for sure. So when might community leaders prepare or use a community profile? And do you know if your community or has a community profile, or have you ever developed one before?
Community profiles are, there's like groups on, I guess, social media that people outside of the community could access that has some information about the Lukhatsok. So there is quite a few social media profiles for Lukhatsok, and the Hamlet would have, I'd say, not a file, but like a newsletter kind of thing that happens monthly. Hope that answers that question.
Yeah, no, you know what, that's a really, thank you for mentioning social media, and the idea that a community profile can be used for folks outside of the community as well, which I think is really valid and I think could potentially be really valuable. So I appreciate that unique perspective. Thanks for adding that. And thank you all for sharing your ideas. There were some really great ones that came up, and some of the ideas that I want to sort of come back to or just touch on again. How important it is to include a community profile when it comes to grants or funding applications, a few folks mentioned that. especially when it comes to trying to make your argument to decision makers. So if you need community support, especially from elected officials or from funders or from even from other sectors, community profiles are really helpful. And to request you to increase or sustain resources, if you need justification, then again, your community profile can be a really useful tool. In the process of working through our RLA this week, when you thinking about when you can prepare a community profile, you need to collect information. And some of this information, particularly the facts and statistics, can be found in profiles or plans or maps or reports. They're the kinds of documents that are available through government sources. But it's equally or more important to collect the information and learn about the community informally sometimes. And this can be done through lots of different means, community gatherings, informal chats, social media, observing other people and maybe not just like over-listening to their conversations, but just seeing what people are interested in. These kinds of activities can really help us to build relationships and help recreation leaders get to know the community's heart and soul. So thinking about, if we could just take a few minutes to talk about how we can gather this type of information and the importance of being respectful when we gather it. So I want you to think about what are some of the ways if it's important for us to to gather information that's about our community and to gather it respectfully. What are some ways that we can do that? What are some ways that you can think about that we can do that? We're going to go through the list in the same order today. Robin, I'm going to get you to jump in one more time first, if you don't mind. And then we'll go through our list in the same order that we did previously. So I'm going to add that back into the chat here. And I just posted the question into the chat as well.
One of the ways that we can respectfully gather information about the community is, asking. I think using like newsletters or mailing lists that you already have everybody's permission to give them information and asking them through those channels is a respectful way to approach people and get the information.
Robin, if I could just follow up on that. How do you go about asking a community, do you think?
I mean, one of the things that I did when I first started is we didn't have a lot of youth programming, so I held like a youth summit and put it in our newsletter, and then also approached any parents who have like older kids that I thought might be interested. Like if your child does have ideas for programming and stuff, they're welcome to come to this and then share their ideas. And at the time, what I did was I put out like a big whiteboard and a bunch of markers. I was like, oh, write like your ideas for programming down. And as I saw what people were writing, I kind of got into conversations about it and sort of asked them like, well, like depending on like programming or whatever, then would you like to come to the community center? Like ideally, because probably not everybody wants to come every day, but if there was stuff like, I guess another question I asked is like, how do we create a space where you feel like you're welcome and you're like, it's your community center? So I think really open-ended questions can be helpful, and just having conversations where you're not just pushing questions that you have, you're actually listening to what they have to say and kind of responding and asking questions based on that.
Thanks, Robin. Thank you very much. Those are some really, really great ideas. I'm going to gather this and post it sort of as we're going along into the chat. But I really liked a couple of those. Well, I really liked all of what you just had to say there, Robin. So I'm going to try and capture all that and put that into the chat. So thank you. Katie, your name has been Katie. Good stand. I didn't even notice that my autocorrect was changing your name, Katana. So I deeply apologize for that. But Katan has written into the chat, government data, asking questions, or giving polls at events, or by email or social media. Juliana, I think, mentioned this before too, with the idea that, mentioned this before, the idea that we can take a poll, but keep those polls because, or keep those surveys because they can be meaningful for other questions or for other things that you might be thinking about as well. So thanks, Cassandra. I appreciate you putting that into the post. Igor, I'm going to go see you next, and then Gian. And again, Gian, I apologize. I see that my autocorrect is changing your name for some reason. So my apologies for having it misspelled in the chat. I'll try and fix that.
Thank you, Tim. I would say the very, very important aspect, in my opinion, is encourage people to talk freely and also acknowledge the culture and tradition, because I think that's essential for the, for people to feel free when we ask open-ended questions. And I believe that that is the one of the most crucial things when we gather information from our community. Thank you.
Thanks, Igor. I really appreciate that, and I especially like the fact that you said respect people's cultures and traditions. It's something that has been hard for me to learn in the past, but something that someone pointed out to me once was that I sometimes don't leave enough space for people to have the courage to speak. And that was something that was really, really valuable for me to learn. So I appreciate you mentioning that, Igor. It's an important one. Thank you. Gian, you're up. What would you like to say? Hey, there's a little one joining us too in the conversation. Sorry, Gian. That's up to you, though.
I'm good. Hey, Robin. Good to see this. Yeah, buddy. Does he even get certification after that also?
It'll be a very little one.
Cool. So regarding the collection of the gathering information specifically about our community, so there are a couple of ways we can go for, like the, if you need a stats or a geographic information, like what the population looks like, what is the need, and you know, what kind of a community lives in. So we can gather through the government websites or, you know, through the different channels. And regarding the services and what kind of the demand is there in the society, we think we can do it in the different ways through the surveys, different surveys we can go with. And definitely what Igor said, like, you know, putting someone on the spot and how do you feel and all this. So asking the open-ended question instead of the closed-ended question, so people, they can talk freely and then they can give their opinion, like, you know, all the way, whatever they want to do it. And yeah, that's the way we can gather information and you know, about the society or communities. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Dan. I appreciate that. A great reiteration of the usefulness of asking open-ended questions. And again, you make a really great point that some of the basic steps that we're looking for our communities can be found on a lot of websites, and some of them can be really up to date. Sometimes we have to be a little bit careful about how the information that we're looking at. I just want to take a second to say hi to Melanie. Melanie, welcome to the call. I'm glad that you managed to join us. We're just talking about the question that we're asking right now is how can we gather information respectfully in our community. So I'm going to let you think about that for a minute, Melanie. If you want to drop something into the chat, feel free. Otherwise, I'm going to ask you to think about that question and respond after April. And so right now we're coming up to Juliana, Jaslyn, and then Breton, and then Myla, April, and Melanie. So Juliana, over to you.
Yes. So usually, as we are the Hamlet, we don't have an updated website, but we do have internally some information as business directory or the resource that we have available in town. As Gia has mentioned, yeah, it's that is Canada or from the government of Nunavut, the information on their website it's usually outdated, and those small comments take a lot in a short period of time. But if I'm not wrong, the last one is like from the one that was on the website for the network was 2013, and on the federal government is 2016. So we do have some of the few surveys that we did in the community consultation, but even there, for example, the community plan that I'm working on, the last version was 2019, is already outdated, but it's for sure a basic resource that that we can use. I just would like to add also that we just had the election as the other community in Nunavut, and we are just getting back with the MEAC, that is the Mayor Elder Advisory Council, and MEAC, that is the Mayor Youth Advisory Council. So they are also good research for us when starting a new project or validating some of our initiatives. As well as everything else in Nunavut, Facebook polls or surveys.
Yeah, that's some really great information in there again, Julianne. I really appreciate your input. I'm just trying to capture this here. The idea of using business directories I thought was really great. And reaching out to community groups as well and advisory groups, I thought was, especially advisory groups, I thought was really helpful. Those are often some of the most engaged people in our community. And so asking them to join or to provide input to community planning can be very, very useful. So thank you again for your input, Julianne. I appreciate it. After Julianne, we are coming to, so we've got Jaslyn and then Breton, Myla, April, and Melanie. Jaslyn.
Hi. Yeah, so I totally agree with what Julianne said. Those are really good ways for outside people to get information on our community, but I understood the question as how do we gather information within the community. So I was kind of thinking on that point of view, and just from, you know, I'm from Cambridge Bay, grew up here, and I noticed that the community members rely pretty heavily on the Cambridge Bay Facebook news page. And I feel like people are always pretty open, so whenever there's any questions on there, it's a good place to go to learn a lot about the community and about what the community members are most interested in or what's important to them. So I often use that as a resource. And also I think that Cambridge Bay, we're pretty lucky to have a lot of youth workers. I noticed that whenever our junior rec coordinators or our youth workers who are working directly with the youth, they spend time with them, and then they come back to me and they give me some really good and helpful information. So I'm really grateful for them, our youth workers. I feel like they have a really good connection with the youth, and it teaches me a lot about what the youth are, what they wish we would prioritize, and what we want in the community. So, yeah.
Great. Again, I'm just trying to write this stuff down while you're talking. But Jaslyn, those are really, so first, I think that you 100% have the right idea about thinking about how to get information from our community. It's great that we can use this information sometimes for outside resources too. But for us as recreation planners or for recreation programmers, or people who are just working in recreation in any capacity, having a good understanding of what our community needs are really does help us to think about all of the other elements of how we provide recreation services for the folks in our communities. So you're on the right track for sure. I love the idea that the last thing that you mentioned there about your staff who are working directly with user groups, sometimes they have a really good, what we sometimes call a finger on the pulse of what people need. So thank you so much for mentioning that, because it's important to listen to the people who are working directly with user groups. They have a very good idea quite often about what is needed. And I really, again, thank you for mentioning socials, because social media, because that's, sometimes people feel like they are able to talk a little bit more freely when they don't have somebody standing right in front of them. People will write into Facebook or write things on Instagram that are sometimes harder to say out loud in front of a group of people. So thank you very much for pointing that out too, because it's a really valuable resource, a really great source of information that we can be using to mine and to harvest. Thanks again, Jasmine. So after Jasmine, we're coming around to Breton, Myla, April, and then Melanie.
Hello. I think for us, pretty much similar to everyone else. I don't have anything very new to add to that. I would say for us here in Cal, it's a lot of social media use, Facebook use, so we try and get a lot of information from there, sometimes like creating a survey and gathering information for the public, or just with some of our staff, like being involved in the community, a lot of just sharing input, just, you know, chatting with people, making connections. A lot of us are involved in our own recreational activities like soccer league or hockey and stuff like that, and just getting input from the community, just through making connections and stuff like that as well. But again, quite heavy from our social media.
Right on, Breton. Thanks for that. And you know what? We have a really good group of people here, so it's okay if what you're thinking about is something that somebody else has already said. In a way, it's very positive. It means that we are kind of working together on the same page, or that we're all thinking in some similar ways. But it's also nice when new ideas come up too. So I totally get how you feel when you've heard you've heard your ideas coming up already. So after Breton, thanks for that. We're at Myla, then April, and then Melanie.
So I think online polls are a great idea. Also, meeting with workers from the First Nations, for example, we work with a health and social worker that works directly with the team of LSCFN as a youth coordinator. We like to hold community meetings. If we have snacks at our community meetings, we tend to have a better turnout. And we get a lot of information and suggestions during our recreation board meetings. They're open meetings. Anybody can attend. We're still waiting for two youth to join, but so far we have a representative from minor hockey, two from the school, one that's a town counselor and jack of all trades, and one that is the conservation officer and fire chief.
Right on. A good meeting runs on the food that you provide. So I'm glad you mentioned that. Got some people nodding their heads. Absolutely. And thank you so much for mentioning working directly with First Nations. It is an absolutely critical part of what we do, working with municipalities or working with hamlets or working in recreation at all. So thanks for bringing that up. It's an important one for us to keep into consideration. Alright, so in our list we are at, I'm just going to repost this, so we're at April and then Melanie.
Youth and elders gathering, like community gathering, we have that a lot throughout the year. Like the elders would teach the youth, you know, a lot of history and also newsletters. We have monthly newsletters that are out once a month from the hamlet, and attending annual general meetings for different organizations. AGMs is where they present all their information so the community can, you know, get a lot of input on that. Also posting on social media is how a lot of the community members know what's going on and what to attend or what is happening. And bulletin boards for people who don't have social media. So we have bulletin boards at pretty much every public place that, you know, our elders can see. And it's also translated into our language so that they can, you know, understand the information that's going on around the community. And email. Everything I do is in email. And every pretty much everything, you know, with the petition, pretty much everything for the community and that anybody wants to hold is through email.
Great. Thank you for saying that. Yeah, absolutely. So I see Katan and Jasmine have to head off. That's okay. Thanks very much for being part of the call. Just to recap there, so the idea of bulletin boards and posters, like the old school stuff, it still matters. There are lots of people who just want to see when things are happening at the place where people meet, whether it's at the drugstore, at the town hall, or at the recreation center. And I always see people stopping to look at the bulletin boards and see what's there. And again, thank you so much for mentioning how important it is to when you can, translate into your local traditional languages. It means so much for so many people. It's hard to remember sometimes that there are a lot of people for whom English is not their first language, and some people for whom English is not one of their languages. So thank you for being inclusive in that way. And again, direct emailing, like reaching out directly to people, and I would add in their phone calls are okay too. Those are really, really valuable, speaking directly to people. Melanie, I'd like to ask you to jump in, if you don't mind, just to round up this conversation.
Hi, everybody. I think for me it's important to build community relationships through personal engagement, mostly one-on-one conversations. We're a small community, so there are a lot of people who are the same people over and over again, who are the makers and doers. About the complaints and all the criticism, we learn more about on social media. So we know where to focus there. So because there are some people who will not talk to us if they see any problems, but will voice their opinions on social media. So that's how we engage. Always neutral, always friendly. You're always here to help and solve problems. And then we have our community boards all over town where people post what they are doing, and we have an interagency meeting that I'm starting to attend. We had in the past a newsletter, and there I hear voices of people, especially older people, who wish that this newsletter is coming back, mostly because a lot of these older people, especially when they live more outside of town and in the bush where there is no internet, they are not on social media so often in town. So the boards or community boards and a newsletter would probably be beneficial for those people. And then really keep a constant contact with community groups. There are very active ones over here, made at PM Recreation. Our signpost seniors are very active, and really keep that communication open. They're always offering, we're here to help. We are here to collaborate. Maybe on a more personal note, it's a little bit hard as a newcomer to a town. I'm very new to Watson Lake. So often, from what I'm hearing, newcomers are not always welcomed instantly. We have to, deserve, no, this is the right word, you have to earn our points to be respected and to earn our spot here in the community. So there's that. And that's pretty much all that comes to my mind. And Myla is right. Community gatherings are always more attended than their food. That is a big part that I also learned over here. It is true. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I hear that. And I sympathize too with being a newcomer into a community and having to try and break into those social circles. So,
Because there's always a history already there that we have to cope with, maybe not knowing anything about, where relationships were broken in the past, you know, so, and maybe new bridges need to be built. So,
That's a really interesting point, that sometimes we are repairing relationships that maybe we weren't responsible for having broken down. So, again, that's sort of circles back to this idea of respectful engagement. There have been some, thank you, Mari, for that. I appreciate it. And there have been some really, so I've put a lot of the ideas here into the chat. Working directly with First Nations was one that really popped out at me, including advisory groups can be really useful too. And the one that really stands out that many of you have mentioned is that personal engagement, the one-on-one and the open-ended questions that we ask to try and allow people to sort of freeform what they want. So some really, really fantastic answers here. I really appreciate it. We're getting close to the end of our time for the call today, so I want to wrap things up. I'd just like to remind you to take a few minutes to take a look at the required learning events for today's, for this week's half of the course. It's in the forum, so make sure that you are on the front page, the main page of RS-102. So please take a gander at that. Take a look and make sure that that you're posting there. And if you could also take a moment just to read through other folks' posts and comment on them. Let people know if how your experience maybe is similar to theirs or is different from theirs, or if you're learning something or if you have something to offer to them. If you want to stick around at the end of this call, you're absolutely welcome to, if you have any specific questions or if there's anything that you want to talk with me about. So after I stop the recording and we say goodbye, I'll stay here on the line until everybody's gone. So if you want to stick around, you're welcome to. Next week on our conference call, which will be the same time, same place on Thursday at this hour, we're going to take a look at the less formal approaches to learning about our communities. And the required learning event is going to involve you hopefully getting out there one-on-one and chatting with a community member. So that's it for our call today. I appreciate your participation, everyone. It was a really engaged conversation. So merci, merci trop, Kwana, thank you, merci, and merci. Remember, stick around on the line if you would like to, and we'll see you all in the forums and on the chat next week. So I'm going to stop the recording.